Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Hoard, and this is the Bengals Booth Podcast, the Thankful for Cleveland edition. It's good to be back after a one-week hiatus. If you're a fan of the podcast and wondered why there were no new additions last week, I sincerely apologize, but I had a bit of a crazy week. Last Saturday, after calling a UC football game in Greenville, North Carolina, I caught a flight to Charlotte and then caught a flight to Denver, where I arrived at the Bengals team hotel at 1:30 in the morning, Denver time. Naturally, when I got to my room, the key didn't work, proving my theory that the later you check into a hotel, the higher the probability that the key won't work. In any case, that was Saturday. On Sunday, after calling the Bengals win over the Broncos, I caught a red-eye flight that left at 5 minutes to midnight to Miami, where we arrived at 5:20 in the morning. The woman at the Starbucks counter seemed confused when I ordered a vat of coffee. About 5 hours later, my next flight left for the Cayman Islands, where the UC basketball team played on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, before flying home late Wednesday night and arriving back in Cincinnati at 4 in the morning on Thanksgiving. In all, 6 flights that covered 5,540 miles in the span of 5 days. But trust me, I'm not complaining. My dad and my stepdad both worked for a living. I know how lucky I am to broadcast Bengals and Bearcats games. But I hope that explains why it was hard to get to the podcast last week. We should be good to go for 2 editions a week for the rest of the year. Coming up on this edition, we'll have radio replays from the Bengals' 30-16 win over Cleveland. Hear what Joe Mixon had to say after his first career 100-yard rushing performance. And Dave Lapham will join me for post-game analysis, despite battling a sore throat. Plus, in this week's edition of Fun Facts, we'll talk to Carlos Dunlap about his childhood experience as a bounty hunter. But before we get to all of that, here's a reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. It's the greatest invention since the wet nap, or moist towelette if you prefer, whether it's to clean your hands or that disgusting tray table on the seat in front of you on a plane, I highly recommend always carrying a couple of wet naps. Now on to the Battle of Ohio. Hugh Jackson spent 1 year as the head coach of the Oakland Raiders and went 8-8. In his 2 years as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh is 1-26. His overall mark of 9-34 equals a winning percentage of .209. To put that in perspective, a Major League Baseball team with that winning percentage would go 34-128 during a 162-game regular season schedule. I believe the official term for that is putrid. But the Browns didn't look putrid to begin Sunday's game at Paul Brown Stadium. They had 50 rushing yards on their opening drive, leading to a short field goal and a 3-0 lead. Cleveland ran it well all day, which does not bode well with the Steelers coming to town next week. Here's Dave Lapham.
Cleveland, 31 rushes, 169 yards, 5.5 a lug, and they rushed for a touchdown. Crowell, 16 carries, 95 yards, 5.9 per carry. And it was nothing fancy. It was between the tackles, and almost between the guards. I mean, the two guards in the center, you know, took the action to them on a lot of snaps during the course of the football game. And, you know, all that the Pittsburgh Steelers have were pouncing DeCastro. So, come on now. You know, you got to solidify it in the interior, because Le'Veon Bell will look at this tape of Crowell going nuts on the Cincinnati Bengals. He may change his running style a little bit. Instead of doing that hesitation, he may just smoke it like Crowell did, because Crowell is getting north and south right now.
As you undoubtedly know, the Bengals running game has not been good this year. The Bengals entered the game last in the NFL in rushing at a paltry 68 yards per game. In fact, 9 running backs had more rushing yards through 10 games than the Bengals had as a team. But that changed on Sunday for the Bengals and rookie Joe Mixon.
There's a handoff up the middle and a big gain for Joe Mixon as he zigzags down to the 22-yard line for a 19-yard pickup.
That's definitely been our emphasis, running downhill, getting our shoulder pads low and driving them legs. And that's pretty much what we've been doing. We've been trusting in it, believing in it. And like I said, our line, they did a hell of a job. And, you know, hopefully if we can get them together, we take them out somewhere. And we're just going to keep on feeding and building week by week. And, you know, I plan for it to continue to get better, you know, from there.
That run came on the Bengals' opening drive, and this pass ended it.
Andy fakes a handoff, throws over the middle. Yeah. Touchdown to Tyler Boyd, who spikes it in the back of the end zone.
That was the first touchdown catch of the year for Tyler Boyd, who is happy to contribute after missing four games with a knee injury.
Duff, you know, just the path I've been going through this year, you know, me having to go through the injury and coming back and just fitting back in with the guys, you know, trying to get the spark back, you know. So just me going out there and be able to do what I do, and coaches and everybody put me in the positions to make great plays, you know, and they'll come my way today, you know, and it felt good.
The Bengals scored on all four of their first half possessions. The only negative was that they were settling for field goals and not scoring touchdowns. At the half, it was 16-6 Cincinnati. The Bengals opened the third quarter by scoring on their fifth straight possession, and this time they got seven, not three.
It's first and goal from the one. Offset eye. Dalton takes the snap. Fakes to Mixon, rolls out, throws into the back of the end zone. Touchdown as Tyler Croft jumps up in the back right corner of the end zone and catches the one-yard touchdown pass from Andy Dalton.
Remember that Thursday night game a few years ago when Andy Dalton had a 2.0 passer rating and a loss to Cleveland? Well, since then, Dalton's led the Bengals to seven straight wins over the Browns with 15 touchdown passes, one interception, and a passer rating of 121.6. That's pretty good. The Bengals had a 23-6 lead, but to the Browns' credit, they battled back to make it interesting. A field goal by Zane Gonzalez made it 23-9, and this touchdown run by DeShone Kizer made it 23-16.
Kizer waiting for the shotgun snap, runs a quarterback draw, and he is into the end zone for a Cleveland touchdown. I mentioned that he has four touchdown runs this year. Make it five as he takes it in on fourth and goal from the three.
The Bengals were up by seven, and with 4 minutes to go, they faced third and five at the Cleveland 40. They were not in Randy Bullock's field goal range, so if they didn't get a third down conversion, the Bengals would have almost certainly punted it back to Cleveland.
Bernard in at running back. Dalton will look to throw against the blitz. He's going to air it out deep for Josh Malone. He's got it at the 10.
Baby.
The ball comes out after he got popped, but a penalty flag is thrown after Malone got nailed while trying to reel in that deep ball.
An unnecessary roughness penalty against Jabril Peppers kept the drive alive. In the game, the winless Browns also had a taunting penalty on offense that helped lead to a missed field goal and dropped a perfectly thrown pass in the end zone for what looked like an easy touchdown.
They just made, you know, too many mistakes, and that's the biggest reason they're an 0-11 football team. I mean, they play hard, they give effort, but they don't play smart. They don't play smart enough football, and until they start figuring out that, you know, you have to play with more intelligence and don't make these dramatic mistakes and give the opponent opportunities, extra opportunities, they're still going to continue to struggle.
Two plays after that roughness penalty, Mixon reached a personal milestone.
Second down and five, 3:48 to go. Now the Bengals line up in an I formation. They are within field goal range now thanks to the penalty. Dalton hands off to Mixon, finds a hole up the middle. He'll go up and over 100 yards, and he makes it down to the 11-yard line for a 14-yard gain. Peppers makes the tackle, and Joe Mixon has his first career 100-yard rushing performance in the National Football League.
Here's Mixon's fellow rookie, Carl Lawson.
I'm not going to lie. I haven't really been thinking about it. I know he has the talent to do it. You know, there's a lot of talented people in the league, you know, and you know, when things come together and the little things come together, you know, people have success. So, I mean, I'm not surprised that it happened. But he definitely has the talent to do that over and over again.
One play after going over the century mark, Mixon put the game away.
On first down, here's a pitch to the left. Mixon down to the five, fighting for the goal line. Touchdown, Bengals, as Mixon takes it the final 11 yards and begins a dance in the back of the end zone. That should be coffin nails.
Bam, bam, bam.
Here's Andre Smith on Joe Mixon.
You know what? He did some tremendous things today, and I actually got behind him to see a couple of runs he broke for a little bit longer distance, and just to see him run hard and lower his pad and run over some guys, that was really impressive.
The final score, Cincinnati 30, Cleveland 16. The Bengals improved to 5-6 and keep their flickering playoff hopes alive. The Browns drop to 0-11 and see their mathematical playoff chances end. Okay, the Browns needed 46 things to happen, including two ties, and their chance of making the playoffs was 1 in 19 quintillion. That's a 19 with 18 zeros after it. But hey, they had a chance. Not anymore. Time to bring back Lapp to wrap things up. I'm Dan Horde. He's Dave Lapham. And somewhere on the other side of this locker room is Joe Mixon. Yes. After his first career 100-yard rushing performance, 23 carries, 114 yards. It's felt like it was only a matter of time, and he got the holes that he needed to have a big day.
He really did. And then, you know, he turned like a 4-yard run into a 7, a 7-yard run into 11. I mean, he did a great job of squaring his shoulder pads up with a great body lean, running people over and getting yards after initial contact. And his longest run was 19 yards. I mean, he didn't have a 50-yard run. He went 19. His touchdown was 11. He had a 14 and a 15-yard run in that drive that led up to the 11-yard touchdown. So he just punished them. I mean, it wasn't anything, you know, where they made a huge mistake and he took advantage and, you know, off to the races he went. He continually got surged. The offensive line did a good job to get him to the linebacker level and beyond where he could really utilize his talents. And we saw that this kid has what it takes. I mean, he's special physically. He's about close to 230 pounds and can do the things 185-pound scat back can do. It's crazy.
It helped the Bengals win the time of possession battle for the first time since the first Cleveland game back in week 4. And it helped Andy Dalton have a very solid mistake-free type game, couple of touchdown passes, passer rating of 111. The Bengals have defeated the Browns 7 straight times and the last 6 wins against Cleveland. Today's 111 passer rating was Dalton's worst. That's how good he's been against Cleveland.
And really, I think it was interesting today, Dan. Cleveland threw it 32 times, ran it 31. The Bengals threw it 28 times, ran it 30. Both of these coordinators, Bill Lazor, Hugh Jackson, the epitome of balance. Both of them wanted to stay with their ground game. Both teams' ground games did a big job. I mean, Cleveland rushed 31 times for 169 yards, 5.5 a pop. That's a concern. Coach Lewis was just talking about it. You know, we have to do a better job of fitting some of those inside runs where they were hurting us between the tackles with Crowell. But to see the Bengals rush for over 5 yards a carry, you know, I mean, coming into the game, they were 3.0, worse than the National Football League. And for whatever reason, against the Cleveland Browns, there's a litany of running backs that have a 100-yard rushing game. Add Joe Mixon to that list. And I was talking to some of the linemen after the game, Andre Smith and others, you know, it's night and day pass protecting when you have a running game going like that. And you can do some run pass option stuff and play action pass, and it just turns into a whole different dynamic. And, you know, Cleveland didn't self-destruct by turnover. Bengals didn't force any turnovers. The Bengals didn't have any turnovers. But Cleveland had some monstrous penalties that just, you know, ate them alive during the course of the game, as we saw, Dan.
Up next, a home game on Monday Night Football against the dreaded, hated, but always respected Pittsburgh Steelers. Including 2 playoff wins, Ben Roethlisberger is 13-2 at Paul Brown Stadium. We'll see if the Bengals can get a rare home win over Pittsburgh to even their record at 6-6. Now time to get to know the person under the pads in this week's Fantastic Fun Facts interview. Time for an updated edition of Fun Facts with Bengals defensive end Carlos Dunlap. We did one of these 6 years ago and discussed a wide variety of things, including your childhood experience as a bounty hunter for your dad. For those who missed that first conversation, describe what you and your brother used to do for Carlos Sr.
Working with him as a bounty hunter. He's a bail bondsman, so if guys jump bail, me and my brother would have to go help him run them down. If they ran, me and him was the guys that run them down, because, you know, he's not as fast as me and my brother, so we would have to run them down, tackle him, and wait till my dad gets there.
You've literally had to tackle people for that?
Yeah, we had to tackle a couple guys. They trained us how to throw the nightstick, too, so sometimes we'd throw that, or we just run them down and tackle them, hold them down until my dad got there with the cuffs.
It sounds like there could be some scary situations doing that. Have there been any?
The situations when guys had gun charges, my dad wouldn't let us go on those ones. He would take my uncle. But if it was just other simple misdemeanors and stuff, my dad let us go with him. But if they had a history of gun charges or anything, he wouldn't let us go.
We're doing fun facts with Carlos Dunlap. I see your dad in the team hotel on the road quite a bit. And one time I noticed he was wearing your 2008 University of Florida National Championship ring. Share the story of how you surprised him with that.
You know, after we got it, I wore it, you know, for that first week. And then next time I seen him, I gave it to him. Said I didn't want to see it until I got, you know, Super Bowl one.
How moved was he?
Very moved. I mean, you know, obviously he's out a lot more. So that ring brings a lot of attention and a lot of questions. And, you know, he gets a good kick out of it. And, you know, it's one of those proud moments. But, you know, hopefully I get a Super Bowl ring, then I'm going to bring all my trophies, childhood trophies and all that, and, you know, build me a collection. But until then, I don't want to start collecting, you know, yet.
All right, Carlos, a lot has happened in your life since the last time we did one of these interviews, including the fact that you went back to school and not only got a bachelor's degree, but a master's degree. You're a millionaire. Why did you feel like you wanted to do that?
Life at the football, you know, NFL stands not for long. I've been fortunate enough to get to year 8, but, you know, the average is 3 to 5 years. So I just wanted to, you know, prepare for life after the football, make sure it's a smooth transition so that, you know, I don't have that dead year of, like, what do I do? Like, what do I do with all this free time, you know? I wanted to have something, to start now, you know, while I got the checks coming from the NFL, and start working on something, you know, on the side to prepare for life after football. Obviously, I'm not running it, but preparing my team and the people around me to work with, you know, now.
Is there an added layer of pride when you go back after establishing yourself as an NFL player and then get the degree?
Yeah, because you got to stay committed because, you know, when those hard tests come or, you know, that hard project comes, you're like, man, why am I putting myself through this? When you're not using that school card no more, you're using your own credit card or debit card, you know. It's kind of different. You look at things a little differently, and you just got to stay focused and understand, you know, long-term goals.
There's a saying that originated in the Bible that says, to whom much is given, much is required. And you embody that with the Carlos Dunlap Foundation. You've done a lot of things for kids in particular, and this year you've started an anti-bullying campaign. How did you get the idea, and do you think it's having an impact?
You know, the idea kind of came to me, you know, this off season, when we saw what happened with Gabe, you know, Tiffany, who runs my foundation, she told me about the incident that happened in the school here in Cincinnati, and, you know, kind of hit home. You know, we started just brainstorming how can we prevent that from happening again, and you know, she came up with the idea of, you know, starting the conversation. And, you know, we kind of, you know, talked about the conversation and, you know, it not just being in Cincinnati, you know, trying to do something different, something that nobody's done that can impact more people. And we happen to partner up with the Boys and Girls Club and Domino's and Cincinnati Bell, and all these people locally here stepped up to the plate and, you know, helped support us. And it is a big issue, especially with social media now. Cyberbullying is the next big one.
You've done anti-bullying meetings with kids in Cincinnati and on the road when the Bengals have gone on the road for road games. When you look these kids in the eyes and you talk about that, can you tell that it's resonating with them?
Yes. You know, once you get in there and establish that you're not here to talk about football because, you know, obviously they're going for the home team, then, yeah, the kids, you know, open up, you know. And I let them share their personal experiences. Let me do a couple of exercises just to, you know, hone in on the importance of what we're trying to, the point we're trying to get across.
A few more fun facts with Carlos Dunlap. Since the last time we did this, you've been to 2 Pro Bowls. What's the best part of going to a Pro Bowl?
The acknowledgement by your peers, you know. It's just that respect factor, you know. When you make it to the Pro Bowl, it's an elite group. So, you know, it narrowed down where you are as a player. Just to have that respect by your peers around the league and people that you're going against. But I still want to get voted in outright. I've been alternates. Whether that's right or wrong, I've been alternate, but we're going to get voted in. So that's still on my goal.
By any reasonable measure, you've had a phenomenal career, and yet I always get the sense from talking to you that you feel like there's a lot of room for growth. Is that the case?
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of things, one of the big things I do in offseason is study the plates and the opportunities that I missed out on. And, you know, sometimes it's two times. It's two times the amount of plays that I made. So if I, you know, if I can make half of them or a third of them, then, you know, that's that many more plays. So, and then, you know, just have something, you know, motivates you to get out of bed, because, you know, this can get routine if you're not constantly working or developing or getting better at something. Because nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. Even the best player makes mistakes. Tom Brady makes mistakes, you know. So who are you to think that you're any better than anybody else?
Last fun fact for Carlos Dunlap. Describe a perfect day.
A perfect day? In the offseason or in season?
I'll give you your choice.
Well, we're in season, so perfect day in season, winning Mondays.
Why?
Because, you know, you put in all those hours throughout the week, and, you know, you got to reap the reward for it on Sunday. That's big. That's one of those days where it's almost like a cheat day. You earn the cheat day, you know, one of those type things.
Appreciate your time. Congratulations on your success, and thanks for all you're doing in the community.
Appreciate you. Hootay.
That's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to subscribe and do me a favor and give it a rating, preferably 5 stars, or leave a comment. It would be great to know how many of you are listening and what you think. I'm Dan Hoard. Thanks for listening to the Bengals Booth Podcast.